Welcome back. This is Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us for the next 15 minutes or so. We have a lot of ground to cover in that time, so let's just jump right back into it, Senator. I saw you at the state Democratic convention in La Crosse not long ago, and you were talking about the stakes of several different political races. Certainly high up on that list as well is Governor Tony Evers, no matter who wins the Republican primary next week. How do you frame that race to folks?
Well, first of all, if we did not have Governor Evers in office and his ability to veto harmful legislation passed by our overwhelmingly Republican gerrymandered Assembly and Senate, we would have a much more difficult situation in the state of Wisconsin. I think about all that the legislature has tried to do with regard to, putting obstacles in the way of people trying to access the ballot box, and the additional burdens they would have, placed on women seeking reproductive health care. Now, the situation has changed drastically now that the U.S. Supreme Court has overturned Roe versus Wade. But I just think about how Tony Evers has been able to stop very harmful legislation from moving forward with his veto pen. Beyond that, he has been a very capable steward during a very difficult time as our state faced the pandemic, just like we saw globally, but he had a very steady leadership style in during that, and I think really was quite an effective leader during a very difficult time. And he is polling well, especially given difficult times across the board. He's viewed very favorably in contrast to other political figures in the state. So I'm very grateful for the steady leadership of Governor Evers.
Speaking of women's reproductive rights, I think most people were surprised by not mm-hmm. just the outcome, but the margin by voters in Kansas, by making sure that abortion rights remain protected. What lessons can be learned from that in Wisconsin and elsewhere?
Well, I think we would have seen very similar results if there were such a referendum in Wisconsin. There is a significant majority of Wisconsin citizens and voters who favor abortion care being legal, safe. It is just very painful, I think, for Wisconsinites who have an appreciation of a state with a progressive history, seeing women lose freedom, freedom to control their bodies, their healthcare, their freedom to decide when and whether to have a family. And in Wisconsin, particularly, to be thrown back into the mid-1800s, which is a reflection of when Wisconsin passed its first criminal abortion law 1 year after statehood in 1849, 70 years before women had the right to vote.
Yeah, it is a unique circumstance one would hope would be temporary. As we go back to reviewing some of the legislation that's being worked on in Washington, D.C. With Senator Tammy Baldwin, one that doesn't get the attention, doesn't get necessary attention perhaps, but is rooted in a Wisconsin experience, is something called the Brokaw Act, and gets at the heart of what has certainly be something stuck under my craw for over a decade, and that is, the way that Wall Street has gone from the way capitalism should work in terms of investing in businesses to essentially being a casino and somebody else pays for your chips. What is it that's happening now with the Brokaw Act named for that mill in northern Wisconsin that was essentially shut down by a hedge fund? What kind of action is happening there?
Well, we put forward legislation to try to give companies early warning when there was an activist hedge fund on the scene trying to manipulate the governance of domestic corporations. And by the way, I've had the same concern as have many others about private equity also. You know, we saw the demise of Shopko when a sort of predatory private equity firm took over and liquidated all the property and sent, you know, sent the business into bankruptcy ultimately. But in the Brokaw Act, what we wanted is an early warning system, which involved the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, giving, requiring hedge funds to disclose their ownership share when they reached a critical ownership level of 5%, and to disclose if there were what we call wolf packs, i.e. Several different hedge funds owning more minor positions but acting in concert with each other to take over and throw their weight around with regard to a corporation. In the case of the Brokaw Act, we finally got the SEC, the Securities Exchange Commission, to act on its own, to require companies to, hedge funds to make these disclosures. And that is gratifying. It makes me angry that it took this long, but indeed they finally acted on their own, and it is now required of these hedge funds.
Senator Tammy Baldwin is our guest, and she chairs the Senate Appropriations Subcommittee for Agriculture, Rural Development, and Other Matters. It takes care of things that help fund matters like the Dairy Business Innovation Initiatives that supports dairy entrepreneurs. It supports the USDA's Institute for Rural Partnership to address some unique challenges. But where I think most people would perk their ears up is that this is kind of the area that really helps with rural broadband, something that through ReConnect and other programs needs to happen. What kind of progress is being made on that this year?
It's very exciting because in addition to the annual budget and appropriations measures, we infused the USDA with ReConnect dollars in the bipartisan infrastructure law. We call it, by the way, the bipartisan infrastructure law, but there were no Republicans in Wisconsin who voted for that act. Fortunately, there were some Republicans who stepped up elsewhere, but it does allow the USDA to play a very vibrant role in making sure that we deploy high-speed internet access throughout the state, including in remote areas. And one thing that's interesting about the program is it's technology neutral. So that's really helpful in Wisconsin, where the terrain and the circumstances differ from, you know, rural community to rural community. You know, there's sometimes you're running the last mile via, a pipeline, basically. And sometimes you're using Wi-Fi and cell towers, and other times even satellite technology. But we need to use whatever works, because truly in this 21st century time period, if you're not connected to high-speed internet, you're kind of left behind in the world of education, the economics. I mean, this is how many people receive healthcare these days. And the pandemic taught us, you know, we need it. We need it everywhere.
Yeah. And it takes all levels. We're working on a story at Up North News, explaining to folks how Little Boulder Junction came together and said, we're not going to take this anymore. And yes. it took a variety of partnerships. You know, no little place can get it done alone and no single level of government. Let's wrap things up with the Inflation Reduction Act. That is the thing that is being worked on most right now. You've talked about it very briefly in that it takes care of a lot of different matters. Take something that's in there that you're especially proud of or will especially have impact on Wisconsin should we overcome the last of the Manchin cinema soap opera and finally get this passed. What to you will bring impact to Wisconsin in this?
Well, I'll pick one issue that I've worked on for years, and that is allowing Medicare to negotiate with the big pharmaceutical companies to lower the price of prescription drugs. We know that the United States pays a lot more than any other industrialized country for our prescription drugs. And part of that is because we just don't negotiate. In fact, there's a bar on negotiation. When Medicare, on behalf of its over 40 million beneficiaries, gets in there and starts negotiating, it will not only bring prices down for people who are on Medicare, but it will have a ripple effect for all people who need prescription medication to cure or treat conditions that they're living with. You know, one of the examples used frequently is the cost of insulin. Insulin has been on the market for over 100 years. It hasn't changed. There's several companies that make insulin, but the price goes up and up and up. And people who have type 1 or type 2 diabetes that require insulin often can't afford it anymore. And it's a life-saving medication.
And it's something, it's a matter that is so ridiculously overdue, along with the prescription drug negotiations, which never probably should have been in that bill in the first place. We've recognized for years that was a flaw in the bill. And we're going to talk later, not you and I, but I'm going to talk later about the Postal Service Reform Act, finally yes. fixing something from 2006. Now, these are all yes. things that have needed to be done, but they're finally getting done under this administration and with you and others helping to run the Senate. And so we really appreciate that you took some time to explain some of that to us. Senator Tammy Baldwin, hope once you get this last spurt of business done, it's a relaxing recess, and then come back and ready to do some more work for us.
Yes, and I'll be visiting up north.
All right. Can't wait for that. Senator, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Senator Tammy Baldwin joining us here in the first hour. In the second hour, congressional candidate Mark Newman. And in the third hour, Kiev Akil is our national correspondent for Courier Newsroom. And we'll talk more about some of the issues happening in Washington, D.C. and the primary elections that took place in other states.